Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. I made a video the other day about salvation and what exactly salvation means to us as believers, and the whole idea of the believing faith, and is salvation something that comes automatically when we accept Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, as a Messiah, or is there really more to it? And what are the scriptural evidences for salvation? And what are some scriptures that talk about exactly what salvation is? So I want to kind of continue the discussion I was given the other day in the video and audio, and trying to get more clear of this and look at what this says, because this is the most important topic and should be the most important topic to all of us, is what does salvation truly mean? And what is evidence of salvation? Is it our works, or is it the judgment of our Creator, and so on? So in looking at what Scripture says about this, and how confident can we be that we have that salvation. So first, let me clarify and let people know that the salvation, or being saved, does not just come after saying a few words in a prayer. If you say a few words in a prayer, but your heart is not in the right place, you've gained nothing. And the common model that's used today in the church is say a few words and now you have salvation. Not found in the scriptures. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible talks about a life of a believer and the blood of a Messiah that gives us an opportunity to have salvation. You see, salvation and the path of salvation doesn't end when we accept Yeshua with the words of our mouth. That's where it begins. And I think the model of the common Christian church today says it begins and ends there, but it doesn't according to the scriptures. So we have to explore this and see and understand this more clearly. And I first want to say, without Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, the one they called Jesus, we don't even have an opportunity for salvation according to what the Bible says. So it is imperative that if we want to have any hope of the idea of salvation or being saved or going to heaven or whatever you want to call it, it begins with accepting with your mouth Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, as who He claims to be. And once we understand that He is the extension of our wonderful Creator who gives us this opportunity to come to the Father and to get the blessings and the judgments and all these different things in our lives, it opens up a whole new idea for us and a whole new world for us. And it says in 1 John 5:11-13, and this is the testimony: Yahweh has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of Yahweh does not have life. I write these that you who believe in the name of the Son of Yahweh, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Eternal life. But we must understand the full context of this. We need to understand what it means to be complete or have this salvation. You know, it says many professing believers out there, you know, tend to just look at this as a beginning and an end. It says in Matthew 7:22, on that day many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? You know, that's what it says. And is everything just lip service? or is there more to it? Romans 3:27-28 says, where then is boasting? Is it excluded? Because of what law? The law requires works. No, because the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by their faith apart from the works of the law. And Romans 4 verses 4 and 5 says, now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but an obligation. However, to the one who does not work but trusts in Yahweh, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. And then John 14:6 says, Yeshua said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father through me. Now, if you saw my previous teaching about works salvation or grace salvation, that explains real clearly what's happening and the blessing that comes along with doing the works. And doing the works means following the commandments of our Creator. Just like Yeshua said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And, you know, so if we're keeping his guidelines and instructions, does that assure our salvation? I explained it real clearly. Our salvation comes from the blood of Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, who gives us that opportunity to stand in front of the Father on Judgment Day. Now, on Judgment Day, the way we lived our life is going to have a lot to do with whatever his final judgment is. But it doesn't. But by saying lip service doesn't automatically give us that pass. Because we still have to stand in front of a judge. And if we're not doing the works, it doesn't look too good for us when we stand in front of the judge, right? So we need to understand that. I'm not going to sit here and say the consequence of sin is hell, because we're all sinners and we all deserve hell. And our Creator is merciful. And it says if we accept Yeshua, you know, and we live our lives a certain way, but still it gives us an opportunity for salvation. So if the consequences of our work and our life doesn't automatically give us the salvation, and that shoots the whole salvation by works theory out of water, because it doesn't. We're not saved by our works. But on the same hand, if our faith automatically gets us in, then why should we even have to do the works, right? So we know that works and our spiritual sense, our salvation is dependent on works and by grace, by both of them and understanding both of them together. But here's the thing. What is the role of sin? If the sinful person has an opportunity for salvation through the mercy of our Father, and if a person that's doing the works can possibly not necessarily have salvation, whether they didn't accept Yeshua or for whatever the opportunity might be, if they're not doing the works, even if they've accepted Yeshua, if they're not guaranteed salvation through faith, because faith without works is dead, what is the role of being righteous and the reason to be righteous? And here's what it comes down to. And I'm going to say this so clear. I said in my previous teaching, the more we listen to our Creator and follow his guidelines and instructions, the better the communication is between us and him, and the more we hear from him. And that's a blessing in itself. That's the world's greatest blessing. So that's number one. So the more obedient we are to the Torah, to the first five books of the Bible, which is the instructions and the foundation of everything, which Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, set as a living example that we are to follow. And no, he did not do away with it when he died. He did away with this idea of salvation by works, you know, only. And he actually didn't take away from that. He added to that. No, it comes not by works only, but work and faith, both of them. But what are the consequences of this? Not just not hearing from our Creator is the ultimate consequence, but here's the thing. It says in the scriptures, if you follow my guidelines and instructions, you will have a nice long life of peace and shalom. That's what it says. So the consequences of living righteously is you get to hear from, not living righteously is you don't hear from our Creator. The blessing is you hear from our Creator. But now let's look at the quality of life we're living. The quality of life we're living. When we're in tune with our Creator's guidelines and instructions, when we're living according to His Word, it doesn't automatically exclude suffering from our lives. There's a big difference between suffering and suffering well. And yes, people that are righteous can still experience certain things in their life that look like they're tragedies or why did this happen to me moments. But Yahweh's at work and in control of everything. But when you are living a life against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, you are putting yourself in harm's way. You are putting yourself in dangerous situations. You are walking out of His covering and into the world, and you are making yourself available to suffer unnecessarily. The Creator says in His Word, "Know the plans I have for you, they are for good and not disaster." When you walk away from His covering, which is by ignoring the works, by ignoring the commandments, by ignoring the guidelines and instructions, you are now putting yourselves in harm's way, and you are now opening yourself up to the disasters that He was trying to keep you away from. That's what His Word gives us. The safety and the protection and the peace and the shalom. Knowing that He has a plan for us and it is good. And we are living according to that plan because we have made the choice to submit to His will and follow His guidelines and His instructions and not the world's ways, which is full of suffering, fear, and every evil thing that comes from Satan. And we have that choice to make. When you're living righteously and in one accord with our Creator's will for us, His blueprint, His plan, you are living according to the guidelines and instructions. And Christianity today makes no sense when they say the commandments were nailed to the cross and we no longer need to follow them. That, in essence, is saying the Creator's covering over you, His protection over you, is not necessary. We don't need that anymore. That just makes no sense. It's almost an oxymoron. Understand this. The works or the law is not something that the Bible is claiming you're saved by or what's going to save you. It's going to give you a good record in front of the judge on judgment day. But the works, the commandments, the instructions, following the guidelines is what's going to keep you under the Creator's covering. It's like if you have a child and you're the father, and you tell your child, don't do these things. The father is saying that out of love because he's trying to protect his child. Our Creator's guidelines and instructions, the commandments, protect us as children of Yahweh. That's what it's for. It's to protect us, to keep us safe. So if our child doesn't listen to us, we say, before you cross the street, look both ways. If a child is listening to the father, the child's going to follow the instructions and look both ways. But in fact, if the child says, well, I don't need his instructions, I'm just going to run across the street. Bam! You put yourself in unnecessary danger by not following the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And in fact, the more you're safe and living in that safety that Yahweh gives us, all it takes is one time to learn the hard way, right? So if a father tells his child, don't touch the flames because you're going to get burned. And if the child doesn't listen and the child gets burned, hopefully there's a connection that comes on that says, well, I remember that time I didn't listen as a little kid and I touched a flame and I got burned a little. I'm going to listen to the father from now on. Well, this is the habits we create when we listen to our Creator and we follow His guidelines and instructions. And the more closely we become to Him, the more we want to be under His covering. And the more we want to be under His covering, the more we dislike or we disassociate ourselves with sin and not living according to His covering. That's where we bring ourselves. You know, so we want to get to a point where our heart is loving what our Creator loves. And in essence, hating what our Creator hates. That's what we want to bring ourselves to, in one accord with our flesh, to love His covering, to understand His covering, to understand Him, to have that knowledge of Him. It says in Psalms 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And Psalms 40:8 says, I delight to do your will, O my Elohim, your law is within my heart. You know, that's where we want to get to. We want to be in that place. And the future call for us in the true new covenant says, Jeremiah 31:33, this is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares Yahweh. I will put my law or my commandments in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim and they will be my people. And that's where He wants us. And that's where we begin to understand when it says in John 14:23, when Yeshua said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. Our covering with them. We will be able to cover them. And the more you do that, and the more you're coming to Him and you're hearing from Him, the more righteous you are, the more you're following the guidelines and instruction, the more He's answering you. It says in John 10:27-29, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That's powerful. That's everything I'm saying in these couple of teachings. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep are those that are the ones that follow me. And they know me. And they have the knowledge of me. That's what He's saying. And the more you're living in sin, you're not my sheep. And you're not hearing from me. Because those that are not following the instructions are not going to hear from me as clearly as those who are. And then it goes on and says, and I will give them eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them from the Father's hand. Yeshua opened up a whole new world for us by giving us that opportunity to come directly to the Father, directly in His courtroom. And you come in there with righteousness in your on your record of what you followed, and all's looking well. You know, but there's so many people that look, if you come in front of a righteous judge and you're an unrighteous person, you should be terrified. Because you know you're guilty. Very guilty. But if you come in there and you're righteous and you didn't commit the crime, and you come into the courtroom and a judge is righteous. It says in the scriptures, a righteous judge cannot set the guilty free and cannot condemn the innocent. Now, a merciful judge could do that, but we have to understand the consequences of living according to our Creator and not living according to our Creator. And then we need to accept what Yeshua did for us and the importance of that. And there are a lot of groups out there, or people out there today, that are doing the works of Scripture. They are doing what our Creator and living how they wants to live. But what they're excluding themselves from is even having an opportunity to meet the judge. Because that, according to the Scripture, only comes through the blood of Yeshua. And that's it. And that's the only way to get into that courtroom. And then there are people that confess with their lips that they accept Yeshua, but their works, they're not doing the works. Their hearts truly aren't transformed. And they're taking themselves out of His covering, putting themselves in great danger. And the more you're in righteousness with Him, the closer you're living to Him. But the same too is the opposite effect. The more you're living against Him, the more you keep drifting away. We need to get this right and understand these things. And you know, it says about the believers bearing the good fruit in Scripture. It says in John 15:5-8, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, He is it that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whether you wish, whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. But this, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and do so, prove to be my disciples. You get this, that we're under his covering. And you remember when Yeshua saw the fig tree and he said, this tree is dead, and the tree died. And then we talk about the fruit of the righteousness and their fruits, Matthew 7, 16. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from dawn bushels, nor figs and thistles from thistles, are they? We think about this. John 3, 18 and 19 says, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are true, and with the truth, and we assure our hearts before him. You get what we're saying? You can't just do the lip service, like is the model of the common Christian church today, to just say a couple of words. You must follow through. You must stay under his covenant if you want to hear from him. We get this, and it's quite simple to understand when we wash away all the ideas of different groups and religions and certain words. We got to speak on more simple terms. It doesn't come down to you either keep the commandments or you don't have salvation, or it doesn't come down to if we got Jesus, we automatically have salvation. No. We have to just simplify the words and understand the court system of Yahweh. And understand, you know, the judgment of Yahweh is coming when we stand in front of him on judgment day. That's where the final judgment comes from. And it's not a result of one act in our lives or even several acts in our lives. Some of the worst sinners of the world, according to scripture, it looks like will be made right with Yahweh. And some people that have done so much, you know, I believe can still be found guilty. That call's not up to us. You know, it's our job to stay under Yahweh's covenant by following his guidelines and instructions and do the best we can do in that. And by that, we study his word, we pray, we get in communication with him. We go over and beyond the things he wants us to do. We understand what sin is. We have the knowledge of Yahweh. And we also understand that sin isn't just all, I mean, the righteousness isn't all of a sudden going to be blessings and all great life. Much righteousness comes in suffering. Like Yeshua said, we will suffer with him. And some of us with our own lives, that we suffer well. And we understand the commandment of do not be dismayed. Do not let anything take your joy away. And when you're living in faith and you have love and you love mercy, there's nobody that can hurt you or harm you, even if they physically destroy you. And those people with the lack of faith, that if one little thing goes wrong and they run away from Yahweh, no matter what they've confessed with their lips. You know, so our desire must be always to have fellowship with a wonderful creator. That is where our desires much lie. John 1:3 says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, fellowship is with our Father and with his Son, Yeshua. Hallelujah. I love Hosea 6:6 that says, for I desire the steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of Yahweh rather than burnt offerings. Beautiful. The love to get under his covering and be under his covering. So hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we must get this and desire to be under his covering. That's what we must, our desire must be. And I pray that you'll get that. Because that's where the true blessings of life really come in. And that's where the true blessings of life are really going to help us to see what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live our lives. And sadly, most people aren't doing it. And when I see people having these discussions about the idea of grace versus law and grace versus law, let me clarify this for you. I humbly come to you in saying this without any type of pride from what Yahweh has revealed to me. It's a misteaching and works of Satan and an enemy to get people to think grace versus law. And even the words grace and law should be really faith and obedience. So change the words grace and law to faith and obedience. And the scriptures isn't grace versus obedience. No, it's grace with obedience or works with law. They go hand in hand. They're not opposite. The grace and the obedience, or the works and the law, both of those are part of the formula to give us the best opportunity when we stand in front of the judge on judgment day to get and hear the outcome that we want to hear. Get away from the thinking of grace versus law. Get into the thinking of obedience and faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray you're getting this, and you need to test everything as the scriptures say. Test everything. That's what our wonderful scriptures say. And understand the scriptures are the word of our Creator speaking to us. And if you want to hear this, you want to have your eyes open to us, it begins with obedience. Stop being more obedient to the word and stop being conceited and prideful and think, well, I accepted Yeshua, so I don't need to do anything else. No. Read the word. If you love me, you will keep my guidelines and instructions. You will keep my commandments. And, you know, the commandments were not nailed to the cross and they're not done away with. You know, and, you know, go beyond the lip service of the church system and the church model and actually do something to become Yeshua's sheep and live the way Yeshua, the one you called Jesus, lived. So you could have that faith in your joy. And by being under his covering, you could eliminate those issues that happen in life that are adding to your pain and suffering unnecessarily. And our Creator wants to do that for you. He desires to do that for you. And he gave us Yeshua to show us that. So praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. If anyone here has any questions, you can contact me either below this video or via this radio station. I thank you for listening to me. May Yahweh be with you all this day and always. And shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
Faithfulness, and I've seen miracles my mind can't comprehend, and there is beauty in what I can understand. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you. I believe you're the wonder-working God. The wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God, and you heal because you love. Oh, the miracles we'll see, you're too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good. tonight, please.